Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of The Israel Show. This week's going to be a bit different. We will not be presenting an encore of one of Meir's shows. Instead, we're going to be presenting Dr. Lior Gottlieb and 16 segments that he dedicated to the memory of Meir Nachum ben David. This was done in memory of Meir because Meir and I were in Israel with our first group, our first tour, back in 1989, and each day Meir studied one of the Shirei HaMa'alot with the group until they were all completed. In memory of Meir Nachum ben David, I present and we present Dr. Lior Gottlieb 16 segments at the conclusion of Meir Shloshim in memory of Meir.
Sefer Tehillim contains a string of 15 mizmorim, 15 consecutive psalms that open with the phrase Shir HaMa'alot, or in one case Shir LaMa'alot. These mizmorim span from Kuf Kaf, chapter 120, to Kuf Lamed Dalet, chapter 134. Though the word ma'alot is obviously derived from the Hebrew root ala, to go up, the meaning of this repeated title, Shir HaMa'alot, is not clear from its immediate context. The Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah 5:4 explains the word ma'alot as steps, a meaning indeed found in several places in Tanakh. According to the Mishnah, the Levi'im used to stand upon 15 steps in the temple and recite the Psalms in song, and these 15 steps are symbolic of the 15 Shirei HaMa'alot. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel has a different explanation for the word Ma'alot. The Gemara relates an Agadah about David HaMelech, who dug down to the very foundations of the earth and thereby unintentionally unleashed the crushing powers of the subterranean waters, the Tehom, that were now able to burst out and submerge the world. By using the Shema Mefurash, David forced the Tehom 16,000 amot back below ground, but this proved to be too much, for the waters were now far too low to be of agricultural benefit to the soil of the earth. David therefore recited the 15 Shirei HaMa'alot, and thus drew the Tehom 15,000 amot back up, leaving it at the desirable distance of 1,000 amot from the earth's surface. Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, quotes Rav Saadia Gaon as suggesting that ma'alot is a vocal instruction, directing the singers to gradually raise their voices while performing these mizmorim. Radak mentions another explanation, that ma'alot may be the groups of returnees from the Galut, making aliyah to Eretz Israel. This last meaning of ma'alot finds support in Ezra 7:9, Yesud ha-ma'ala mi Bavel, the commencement of the aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Israel. The expression Yesud ha-ma'ala became the name of a new moshava in Eretz Israel in 1883 in the Upper Galilee. Its founders realized that, like in the time of Ezra, they too were called to leave modern-day Bavel and make the journey up to Eretz Israel. Going back to the Shirei HaMa'alot, their title may indeed imply that these mizmorim were indeed pilgrimage songs, either songs recited by Jews making aliyah, going up to Eretz Israel, or as part of the Aliyah L'Regel, the journey up to Yerushalayim for the festivals, the Three Regalim. The first Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf, Psalm 120, is the plaintive cry of an individual who feels ensnared by others who speak kindly, but act treacherously. He knows their intentions are harmful despite their friendly speech, and he realizes it is not within his own power to extract himself from the dangerous circumstances he finds himself in. He knows that God alone can and will protect him from his deceitful adversaries. He calls upon the Kadosh Baruch Hu to save him from the lies that threaten to overpower him. Hashem, Hatzila nafshi misifat sheker milashon remiya. Hashem, save me from treacherous lips, from a deceitful tongue. And like very many other mizmorim, the psalmist expresses his certainty in God's salvation from the very beginning. El Hashem batzarat ali karati vayaaneni. In my distress I call to Hashem, and he answered me. At least three important ethical teachings emanate from this short mizmor. Number one, Ani Shalom in verse 7. Our natural state of being should be to live in peace.
We seek to avoid war not merely because it is dangerous, but because peace is ethically superior to war. In Parashat Vayishlach, when Yaakov learned that Esav is en route with 400 men of war, the Torah says, Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzer lo. Rashi explains the need for both verbs. Vayira shema yehareg. He feared lest he be killed. Vayetzer lo shema yaharog acherim. He was distraught lest he kill others. Number 2. Rabat shachnala nafshi im sone shalom, in verse 6. So long have I dwelt with a hater of peace. We must not confuse our own peaceful inclinations with naivety. We are to strive for peace, but not at the price of disregarding true belligerent intentions on the part of our adversaries. There is no excuse for an adult to be gullible. We must be capable of recognizing that our own desire for peace does not necessarily mean our enemy is of the same attitude. V'chiat daber hemma la milchama, verse 7, closing the mizmor, even while I speak with peaceful intentions, they are for war. If that is the reality, be mature and own up to it. Be not naive. Number 3. While it is our obligation to do the best we can, we must remember that the source of our well-being is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. El Hashem, batzarata li karati vayaneni. Hashem, hatzila nafshi. The second Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121, opens with a plea for help. Me'ayin yavo ezri? From where shall my help come? But we remain in doubt for no longer than the duration of these words alone. For the definitive answer is given immediately in the next verse, and its veracity is repeated and echoed in every other verse of this psalm. Ezri me'im Hashem oseh shamayim va'aretz. My help comes from Hashem, maker of heaven and earth. In the remaining 6 verses of the Mizmor, Hashem is described as our shomer, our guardian and protector, no less than 5 times. The psalmist reveals that he is vulnerable in more than one way. There are dangers that characterize the day, and dangers that characterize the night. And this dichotomy of danger persists throughout most of the Mizmor. Al yiten lamot raglecha, he will not let your foot give way, when you are on the go, by day. Al yanum shomrecha, your guardian will not slumber, when you let your own guard down to sleep, by night. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, by day the sun shall not strike you. Ve'yareach balayla, nor the moon, by night. Hashem yishmor tzeitcha, may Hashem guard your going out, as in going out to work, by day. Uvoecha, and your coming in, as in coming back home after work, by night. The word yomam, by day, has an interesting feature. The mem at the end of the word is not a doubling of the mem of yom. Rather, it is an adverbial mem that can be substituted by a prepositional bet in the beginning of a word. We find this mem in words like rekam in the laws of Aliyah LaRegel, v'lo yera'u fanai rekam, none shall appear before me empty-handed. Rekam, literally in emptiness, like berik. Or in the word omnam, as in ha'af umnam eled v'ani zakanti, shall I in truth bear a child old as I am? Omnam, literally, in truth, like be'omen, a byform of be'emet. And finally, the word chinam, which means free, as in v'yatze'ah chinam en kasef, she shall go free without payment. Does that mean that chinam means bechen? Yes, it does. Chen means grace, favor. When I give something away without payment, I am giving it in grace, which is also how to say without payment in Latin, gratis. Returning to the theme of God's protection, the Mizmor closes with the uplifting blessing, Hashem yishmor tzeitcha uvoecha me'ata ve'ad olam. May Hashem guard your going out and coming in forevermore. Mizmor Kuf Kaf Bet, Psalm 122, begins as a pilgrimage song par excellence. Immediately after the title, the psalm breaks out in jubilation. Samachti be'omrim li, Beit Hashem Nelech. I rejoiced when they said to me, we are going to the house of Hashem. The Mizmor then leads us, as it were, through the very gates of Yerushalayim, and then into the holy city. Omedot hayu ragleinu bishareich Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim habbenuya ke'ir shechuberalah yachdav. Our feet stood inside your gates, O Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim built up, like a city joined together. It is at this point that the careful listener may begin to realize that something in the psalm is amiss. Why would a participant in the Aliyah LaRegel under the Davidic dynasty describe Yerushalayim as Benuya, as built up? Why would anyone assume otherwise? The hints continue in the next two verses. Shesham alu shevatim shivtei yah edut liYisrael lehodot l'shem Hashem, to which tribes would go up in pilgrimage, the tribes of Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem's name. The sense of past tense calls us to wonder, was that no longer the case then? Ki shamma yashvu kisot lemishpat, kisot leveit David. For there were seated the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Again, the sense of past tense, describing a glory no longer present and sorely missed. It is for this reason that Mefarshim, such as Radak, the Meiri, and Rabbi Yeshayahu of Trani, place the words of this Mizmor in the lips of the exiles of Galut Bavel, yearning to see once more the magnificence of Yerushalayim, while Ibn Ezra mentions the possibility that it refers to the Bayit HaShlishi. When understood in this light, the remainder of the Mizmor is a prayer for Yerushalayim's revival and for the restoration of its past glory. Hear the love and longing for Yerushalayim in the repetition of the consonants Shin, Lamed, and Mem, which comprise the key element of its name, Shalem, in the next two verses. Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim Yishlayu Avaich, Yishalom Bechelech Shalva Be'armenotayich. Pray for the peace of Yerushalayim, may those who love you be tranquil. May there be peace within your ramparts, tranquility in your citadels. Not just for the physical city's sake, but for its people. Leman Achai V'Re'ai Adabra Na Shalom Bach. For the sake of my kin and friends, I pray for your peace. Lema'an Beit Hashem Elokeinu Avaksha Tov Lach. For the sake of the house of Hashem, our God, I beseech good on your behalf. The fourth Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf Gimel, Psalm 123, exhibits a seemingly inverted structure. It begins with the solution. Elecha nasati et einai hayoshevi bashamayim. Towards you do I lift my eyes, O enthroned in heaven. Then it justifies its complete dependence on God. Hinei ke'einei avadim el yad adonehem, ke'einei shifcha el yad gevirtah, ken einenu el Hashem Elokeinu ad sheichonenu. As the eyes of slaves follow their master's hand, as the eyes of a slave girl follow the hand of her mistress, so our eyes follow Hashem our God in anticipation of His grace. The next verse is the actual plea. Honenu Hashem, Honenu, ki rav sava'nu vuz. Show us grace, Hashem, show us grace, for we have been the object of far too much contempt. Only now has the problem, ongoing derision, been stated, and then repeated in greater detail in the closing verse. Rabat sav'alah nafshenu halla'ag ha'shananim, habuz lig'eyonim. Far too long have we been the object of scorn by the carefree, of contempt by the haughty. Even the first sentence of the Mizmor is inverted. Elecha nasati et einai. Instead of the more natural, nasati et einai elecha, or et einai nasati elecha, in both cases putting elecha at the end. Perhaps in this local inversion we can identify the rationale for the entire psalm's structure. By opening with the word Eilecha, towards you, the Mizmor places the focus not on the problem, but on the destination where its solution can be found. Eilecha, towards you, our God. This is the statement of the Mizmor, and it is therefore rhetorically advanced to the front of the sentence, and thereby to the front of the entire Mizmor. The word Hayoshevi in Hayoshevi Bashamayim is no different in meaning than the more common Hayoshev. The Chirik Yod at the end of Hayoshevi is not a first-person singular pronominal suffix. It is simply a hallmark of biblical poetry and is not to be translated, just as Mikimi of Mikimi Me'afar Dal in Tehillim 113:7 does not mean he raises me, It means he raises, and the object of the verb mikimi is dal, the poor. Just as lehoshivi of lehoshivi im nedivim in the following verse does not mean to seat me, it means to seat, and the object is the same poor man of the preceding verse, who is lifted up by God to be seated with the nedivim, the noblemen. This particular example is made much clearer by its counterpart in Shmuel Aleph 2:8, Mekim me'afar dal me'ashpot yarim evyon lehoshiv im nedivim, which uses the more prosaic forms Mekim and lehoshiv. Hayoshevi b'shamayim is therefore an elevated poetic way to describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The fifth Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf Dalet, Psalm 124, is a song of thanksgiving for God's protection of Israel from the relentless and vicious intentions of its foes. Without God, the threat to Israel is no less than existential, as its enemies are likened to unstoppable forces of nature, or ferocious beasts of prey. In three consecutive verses opening with the word Azai, the fury of the enemy would lead them to swallow us alive and to sweep over us like raging waters. Even so, at no point in this psalm is Israel's well-being held in doubt. That is because the structure of the Mizmor leaves no room for doubt. The first two verses repeat the phrase, Lulei Hashem Shehayalanu, if not for Hashem that was on our side, clearly expressing that at no point were we alone. And the Mizmor ends with a statement, Ezreinu b'shem Hashem, Oseh Shamayim va'aretz, our help is in the name of Hashem, maker of heaven and earth. If the source of Israel's help is Mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam, he at whose command the world came into being, even mighty forces of nature cannot truly endanger Israel. Note, though, how Israel is portrayed throughout the psalm. Israel without God on its side is insignificant. While the enemy is likened to a ravenous beast, Israel is not described as being capable of mounting a deterring counter-threat. On the contrary, Israel on its own is nearly helpless. Israel would be teref, prey, and is likened to an ensnared bird that cannot save itself, but escapes harm only when the trap imprisoning it breaks. And what causes the trap to break? Ezreinu b'shem Hashem. Our help is in the name of Hashem. This paradigm is further developed in post-biblical rabbinic formulations, such as in Midrash Tanchuma, said Hadrian to Rabbi Yoshua, Gedola ha-kivsa ha-omedet ben shiv'im ze'evim. How great is the lamb that perseveres among 70 wolves? To which he replied, Gadol hu haro'e shematzilah v'shomrah v'shovran lefaneha. How great is the shepherd that saves and protects the lamb by breaking them before her. Or as expressed in the Haggadah shel Pesach, Vehi she'amida lavoteinu velanu, shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechaloteinu, אלא שבכל דור ודור עומדים עלינו לחלותינו, והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם. This covenant has sustained our forefathers and us, for not one enemy alone has risen up against us to destroy us. But in every generation they rise up against us to destroy us, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hand. The sixth Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf He, Psalm 125, offers a fascinating analogy between faith in God's justice and the physical topography of Yerushalayim. One might expect Yerushalayim, the seat of God's earthly Mikdash, to be the most prominent site in its vicinity, allowing it to be seen from great distances by pilgrims who approach the city from all directions. However, Yerushalayim in its biblical boundaries is, surprisingly, slightly lower than the mountains that surround it from all sides. The psalmist utilizes the relative prominence of the city's neighboring mountains as a metaphor for God's protection of Israel. Yerushalayim harim saviv lah, Yerushalayim mountains enfold her, aptly says the psalm, v'Hashem saviv le'amo, and Hashem enfolds his people. As Yerushalayim is shielded by the mountains around it, so is he who trusts God, secure and stable. For this analogy to hold, though, divine justice must be clear and present in the world. If human goodness is not rewarded by God for all to see, and if human evil is not correspondingly punished, there will be a crumbling down of the distinction between good and evil, or there will be a corrosion in the reliance upon God. The psalm, therefore, asks God, Heitiva Hashem latovim v'lisharim v'libotam. Benefit the good, Hashem, and the upright of heart. V'hamatim akal kalotam, but those who act crookedly, yolichem Hashem et poalei ha'avin. May Hashem make them go the way of evildoers. By requesting God to mete out clear justice in this world, reward for the righteous and punishment for the evil, our Mizmor is hinting that the reality of this world is far more complex, far more challenging. In doing so, this psalm is a much more mild version of the Jeremiah complaint, Madu derech reshaim tzalecha shalu kol bogdei vaged. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are the workers of treachery at ease? The Mizmor ends with a formulaic Shalom al Israel, peace upon Israel, which also closes another Shir HaMa'alot, Psalm 128, U'evanim Levanecha, Shalom al Israel. Shalom al Israel is not part of the sentence that precedes it. It stands alone as an after-prayer to the entire psalm. This concise, touching expression became very popular and has been found on mosaics and inscriptions in first millennium synagogues and tombstones, in Ein Gedi near the Dead Sea, in Susia south of Hebron, and even as far away as ancient Spain. These three short words inspired our ancestors through centuries of galut till our wondrous return to Eretz Yisrael, giving them hope and inspiration. Shalom al Israel. The seventh Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Kaf Vav, Psalm 126, B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kecholamim, is perhaps the most widely known of the 15, as it is traditionally sung before Birkat HaMazon on Shabbat and festivals. It is a yearning for the opportunity to express gratitude and triumph after a long road of uncertainty. The first half of the psalm describes the joy and wonder that would be expressed over the great things Hashem will have done for Israel. The second half of the psalm is an exhortation for optimism in the bountiful outcome that will be the lot of those who do not allow the hardships of the present dissuade them from investing in a brighter future. This second half addresses both God and man. God is asked, Shuvah Hashem et Shiviteinu ka'afikim ba'Negev. The image behind this simile rests on the nature of the arid Negev region in southern Israel, whose typically dry watercourses rapidly fill up at their source when rain finally falls, due to the non-porous stone of that region, creating raging torrents that appear seemingly out of nowhere at their endpoint, with great might and speed. The psalmist prays for God's salvation to be analogously swift and powerful. Man, meanwhile, is encouraged to not lose hope, to invest in the future despite the bleak present. Hazor'im bidim'a birinna yiktzoru. Those who sow in tears shall reap in jubilation. The expression Shivat Zion in verse 1 is commonly understood as the return to Zion, and many assume it describes the end of the Galut. In fact, Shivat Zion is the term used in modern-day Israel for the end of Galut Bavel and the beginning of the Second Temple period. This interpretation, however, is grammatically difficult. The form Shiva is rare in biblical morphology and characteristic of rabbinic Hebrew. The verb in verse 1 governing Shivat is Shuv, whereas the expected form for this meaning would be Behashev. A third difficulty lies in verse 4, where we find a repetition of the phrase but in different form, Shuva Hashem et Shiviteinu. Were the meaning our return, verse 4 would have read, Et Shivateinu. Some, therefore, liken both B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion and Shuvah Hashem et Shiviteinu to the well-known biblical phrase, Shav Shivut, as in Iyov 42:10, V'Hashem Shav et Shivut Iyov, which clearly describes a restoration of Iyov's well-being. Or as in Tehillim 14:7, B'shuv Hashem Shivut Ammo Yagel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael. When Hashem restores the good fortune of his people, Yaakov will exult, Israel will rejoice. Shivat Zion, then, is not a return to Zion, it is a return of Zion, to its good fortune and its glorious past. The eighth Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kuf Kaf Zayin, Psalm 127, appears to consist of two short units, verses 1 and 2, and verses 3 to 5. Verses 1 and 2 are a statement about the futility of human action devoid of God's will. Im Hashem lo yivnevayit, shav amlu vonav bo. Unless Hashem builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Im Hashem lo yishmor ir, shav shakad shomer. Unless Hashem watches over a city, the watchman observes in vain. The Mizmor is not an argument for builders or watchmen to abandon their efforts, or that human initiative and action are uncalled for. Rather, it warns of an attitude that relies on human action alone. Such an attitude leaves no room or little room for recognizing that all things are in God's hands. And that is but one step away from living a godless existence, enjoying the pleasures our world has to offer, but not acknowledging God's enablement of our successes. Sefer Devarim warns of a similar mindset in which the Israelites might come to think, Kochi ve'otzem yadi asa li et ha'il hazeh. My own power and the might of my own hand have attained this prosperity for me. V'zacharta et Hashem Elokecha, ki hu hanoten lecha koach la'asot chayil. Remember that it is Hashem your God who gives you the power to attain prosperity. Verses 3 to 5 of the Mizmor extol the benefits of building a family and having children. Hine nahalat Hashem banim, sachar peri habaten. Children are allotted by Hashem, the fruit of the womb is His reward. The psalm then adds that having children early in life is especially beneficial for a parent, for they come into adulthood while the parent is still physically dynamic, creating an optimal team that can work together. Kechitzim b'yad gibor ken b'nei hanneurim. Like arrows in the warrior's hand, so are children born in one's youth. The next verse continues the metaphor of children being as helpful to a parent as arrows are to the warrior. Ashrei ha-gever asher mile et ashpato mehem, lo yevoshu ki yidabberu et oyevim bashar. Fortunate is the man that fills his quiver with them. They will not be disappointed when contending with enemies at the gate. Rashi suggests that even the word banim, children, in the psalm, is essentially a metaphor for Torah disciples. Banim, says Rashi, ha-talmidim shehu ma'amid shehem lo kevanim. The disciples that one raises up, they are like sons to him. When one thinks of Meir Weingarten, in whose memory we are learning these Shirei HaMa'alot, Rashi's interpretation is particularly significant and touching. The ninth Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kuf Kaf Chet, Psalm 128, complements the two themes of the preceding psalm, Kuf Kaf Zayin. If Psalm 127 warns man not to live a godless life, Psalm 128 praises the man who lives according to Hashem's will and fears Him. Ashrei kol yirei Hashem haholech bidrachav. How fortunate are all who fear Hashem and uphold His ways. If Psalm 127 declares children to be a gift from God to their parents, Psalm 128 offers a more detailed image and depicts an idyllic picture of the household a God-fearing man is to be blessed with. The man who upholds Hashem's ways does not rely on others, but finds joy and satisfaction in earning his sustenance. Yegia kapecha ki tochel ashrecha v'tov lach. How fortunate and good is it for you when you partake of the toil of your own hands. Such a man's family is another source of joy and satisfaction. Eshtecha kegefen poriya biyarkete v'techa, banecha kishtilei zeitim saviv l'shulchanecha. Your wife, like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children, like olive saplings around your table. Hine chichen yevorach gaver yireh Hashem. So shall a man who fears Hashem be blessed. And while it is true that in our day and age, society is struggling to define other sources of joy and satisfaction for people whose life does not conform with this idyllic picture, it is also true that for the vast majority of people, the life described in this Mizmor, earning what one eats, and a husband and wife raising a household of children together, would still be considered a great blessing. The next verse reminds the Yirei Hashem that he is part of a larger whole, and that Hashem's blessings emanate from and are tied to Yerushalayim. Yevarchecha Hashem Mitzion ur'e betuv Yerushalayim kol yimei hayecha. May Hashem bless you from Zion, and may you see Yerushalayim's prosperity all the days of your life. The blessings of one's own private life are that much enhanced and are instilled with that much more meaning when they are connected to a larger picture, to the well-being of Yerushalayim. And since this verse implies a long life being part of Hashem's blessing, it is only fitting to continue into the next verse, Ur'evanim levanecha, may you live to see your children's children. The psalm concludes with the same formulaic blessing that ended Psalm 125, the short, succinct prayer for Israel's well-being and endurance. Shalom al Yisrael. Peace be upon Israel. The 10th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kuf Kaftet, Psalm 129, opens with the exclamation, Rabbat tziraruni min ne'urai omarna Yisrael, Rabbat tziraruni min ne'urai gam lo yachluli. Since my youth have they often attacked me, declares Israel. Since my youth have they often attacked me, but they have never overpowered me. Israel in this Mizmor is the victim not of a one-time incidental assault, but an ongoing series of attacks over many years. Accordingly, the injury sustained by Israel is not described as a wound, but is compared to the long path created by farmers plowing a field. Al gabi harshu horshim herichu lema'anitam. Plowmen plowed across my back, they made long furrows. The identity of the enemy is not mentioned, but the identity of Israel's strength is made very clear. Hashem tzaddik kitzetz avot reshaim. Hashem, the righteous one, has snapped the cord of the wicked. So Psalm 129, much like Psalm 124, tells a story of ongoing hatred and enmity against Israel by the hands of faceless adversaries. And if not for Hashem's steadfast protection, their evil would triumph. Our Mizmor, though, gives these enemies a title. Yevoshu v'yisogu achor kol sonei tzion. Let all haters of Zion fall back in disgrace. Amazingly, more than 2,000 years ago, the Hebrew Bible already coined a generic term for habitual enemies of Israel, Sonei Tzion, haters of Zion. The final three verses of the psalm wish for the quick disappearance of the haters of Zion. In the course of these verses, though, we are afforded an example of how good-natured passers-by would greet strangers in the field. Birkat Hashem Aleichem, Beirachnu Etchem B'Shem Hashem. The blessing of Hashem be upon you, we bless you in the name of Hashem. This form of greeting reminds us of Tehillim 118:26, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Beirachnuchem Mibeit Hashem. May he who enters be blessed in the name of Hashem, we bless you from the house of Hashem. It also resembles Boaz's greeting in Ruth 2:4, when he joined his harvesters in the field. Vayomer lakotzerim, Hashem immachem. Vayomer ulo, yivarchecha Hashem. He greeted the reapers, Hashem be with you. And they responded, may Hashem bless you. Our formal Hebrew greeting today, Shalom Aleichem, is not found in the Bible. What we find here is that in ancient Israel, greetings included a blessing in God's name. Indeed, this is precisely what is found in various ancient letters and inscriptions from the First Temple period unearthed by archaeologists in Israel. One of the frequent forms of salutation in these letters is Berachticha LaHashem. The 11th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Lamed, Psalm 130, is a well-known part of our liturgy. It is added after Psukei Dezimra during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It is also regularly recited when communities choose to add a special prayer during a time of hardship. A Baraita in Masechet Brachot derives the following halacha from verse 1 of our Mizmor. One should not stand in prayer on a bed or a bench or a chair, nor on top of any other elevated surface. For there may be no loftiness before the deity, as it is written, Mima'amakim k'raticha Hashem, from the depths do I call you Hashem. The word ma'amakim in its context, though, does not describe a standard location for prayer. Based on its appearance in other places in Tanakh, It means the depths of the sea. This is why it is fitting to use this psalm as a prayer at a time of dire straits, as the psalmist begins his own prayer from a place where his very life is in immediate peril, whether he's using the depths of the sea literally or figuratively. The psalmist begs God to rescue him from the depths, not because he claims to be worthy or without sin, but despite his sins. His argument is, Im avonot tishmor yah, Hashem mi'amod. If you hold on to sins, Hashem, who, O Lord, can endure? Man would have no chance of survival without God's forgiveness. And because the decision to forgive is in God's hand, man deservedly fears God. Ki'imcha slicha leman tivare. The power to forgive is yours, that you may be held in awe. Man admits that his fate is in God's hands. Kiviti Hashem, kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hochalti. I pin my hopes on Hashem, indeed I do. I await his pronouncement. Nafshi la Hashem, mishomerim la boker, shomerim la boker. The verse clearly wishes to illustrate its subject's great devotion to God. But the elusive repetition, mishomerim la boker, shomerim la boker, has engendered many interpretations. The one I'll offer here views Nafshi l'Hashem as a completion of the previous verse, and the mem of Mishomerim as a mem of advantage. I await Hashem in a manner that is greater than the way late-night watchmen await the morning. At this point, the psalm moves from the individual to all of Israel. Yachel Yisrael el Hashem, ki'im Hashem achesed v'harbei mofedut. Await Hashem, O Israel, for with Hashem is steadfastness and great power to redeem. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. It is He who shall redeem Israel from all its sins. The 12th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Lamed Aleph, Psalm 131, with just three verses, is one of the shortest in all of Tehillim, but its brevity takes nothing away from its beauty. It speaks the words of a humble individual who stands before God in serenity. Hashem lo gavah libi, velo ramu einai, velo hilachti bigdolot uvniflaot mimenni. Hashem, my heart is not haughty, nor my visage arrogant, nor have I occupied myself with things too great or beyond me. The next verse describes the individual's tranquil disposition and behavior. Im lo shiviti vedomamti nafshi, kegamul alei immo, kagamul alei nafshi. The psalmist says of himself, I composed and hushed myself like a weaned toddler upon his mother. Like the weaned toddler am I in my mind. However, the meaning of the first two words of the verse, im lo, is puzzling. Literally, im lo means if not. But the sentence does not lend itself easily, neither to the conditional word im, nor to the negating word lo. Some mefarshim, such as Radak, view the words im lo as an oath formula. So together with the words that follow, the psalmist would be saying, I swear that I have composed and quieted myself, etc. Another possibility I shall suggest here is to view im lo as an ancient precursor to the later word known in Rabbinic Hebrew, Ela, which denotes the opposite of what precedes it. According to this explanation, after having rejected the possibility of haughty behavior in verse 1, the psalmist then affirms the opposite. Hashem, my heart is not haughty nor my visage arrogant, etc., but rather have I composed and hushed myself. The concluding verse is not a self-descriptive testimony, as the first two were. It addresses not an individual, but the people of Israel. Yachel Yisrael el Hashem, me'ata ve'ad olam. Put your hope, O Israel, in Hashem, from now forevermore. Though of a different style and voice than the first two verses, the third verse adds context to the first two. He who truly puts his hope in God does not easily come to regard himself haughtily. One puts his hope in God from a place of humility. For if the individual genuinely regards God as the source of everything, what justification is there to place himself above others? This is not an argument for a servant of God to choose inaction due to the realization of his own finite value. Rather, it is an argument to realize that even one's own true value was enabled through the infinite that is his creator. The 13th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kuf Lamed Bet, Psalm 132, is by far the longest of the Shirei HaMa'alot, its 18 verses making it twice as long as the runner-up, Mizmor Kuf Kaf Bet. It is also the only Shir HaMa'alot that recounts, albeit poetically, a story about a particular biblical figure, by roughly corresponding with Shmuel Bet, chapters 6 and 7. The psalm opens with a request, Zechor Hashem leDavid et kol unnoto, consider Hashem in David's favor all his pain. The word unnoto, which I translated his pain, is derived from the root ina, just like the word we use for a day of fast, ta'anit. The cause of David's pain was his determination to do everything in his power, including abstaining from basic pleasures, to relocate the Ark, Aron Berit Hashem, to Yerushalayim, thereby publicly establishing Yerushalayim for the first time as a place of worship, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the location where the Beit HaMikdash will ultimately be built by his son Shlomo. Asher Nishba LaHashem Nadar LaAvir Yaakov, Im Avo BeOhel Beiti, אם אעלה על ערש יצועי, אם אתן שנת לעיני לאפעפי תנומה, עד אמצע מקום להשם, משכנות לאוויר יעקב. How he made an oath to Hashem, vowed before the guardian of Yaakov, I will not enter my own home, nor will I mount my own bed. I will not grant my eyes sleep, nor my eyelids slumber, until I find a place for Hashem, a dwelling for the guardian of Yaakov. When David arrives at the Ark's current location, he initiates a new era by seeking Hashem's approval for the consecration of Yerushalayim, using verses that we use to this day when returning the Torah to its place in the Ark. Kuma Hashem limnuhatecha, ata v'aron uzecha, kohanecha li'il b'shu tzedek, v'chasidecha yiranenu, v'avur David avdecha, al tashev p'nei mishichecha. Rise up, Hashem, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark, your priests clothed in victory, and your faithful ones sing in joy. For the sake of David your servant, do not reject your anointed one. And as in Shmuel Bet chapter 7, when David wishes to build the temple, Hashem changes the initiative and instead promises David that he will be the first in line of a royal dynasty. In language similar to David's oath mentioned before, the psalm now reports, Nishba Hashem leDavid, emet lo yashuv mimenna, mipri vitnecha ashit lechiselach. Hashem made an oath to David, a truth he will never renounce. Of the fruit of your loins shall I place upon your throne. Thus does this mizmor seal the bond between Malchut Beit David, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and Yerushalayim. Ki vachar Hashem b'tzion, ivah lemoshav lo. For Hashem has chosen Zion, he has desired it as his seat. The 14th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Lamed Gimel, Psalm 133, is a short, quaint appreciation of the wonderful communion that is shared between siblings when all is good between them. Hinne matov uman na'im shevet achim gam yachad. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together. These words became one of the most well-known Hebrew songs of the 20th century, known by heart even by Jews who knew very few other biblical songs. On February 11, 1986, one of the most famous political prisoners of the evil communist regime that was the Soviet Union, Natan Sharansky, was reunited with his people in Israel after enduring for many years the horrors of the Soviet prisons. When he arrived in Israel and dramatically spoke before a jubilant crowd of Jews that gathered to welcome him home, he said in Hebrew, "Even when entire years passed in which I received not even one word from Israel, there was not one day, not even one moment in which I did not feel connected with all of you. Even when I was in solitary confinement, I sang, 'Hinne matov uman na'im shevet achim gam yachad.'" The pleasant brotherhood that is being lauded in this mizmor is compared to two very different images in verses 2 and 3. The first is an image of Aharon, the high priest, at the moment of his anointment. Kashemen atov al arosh yored al zakan, zakan Aharon sheyored al pi middotav. Like fine oil on the head running down the beard of Aharon coming down to the collar of his priestly vestment. The second is an image from nature, Ketal Hermon Shiored al Harari Tzion, like the dew of Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. Various Mefarshim attempt to explain how each one of these two images functions separately as an analogy for the beauty of an extended family living in harmony. I would add that it may be no coincidence that these two images sit side by side. Perhaps the image of dew on the mountains functioned originally as an analogy for the high priest himself. The well-known Piyut Mar'eh Kohen gives a long list of beautiful pictures from the natural world that were all on par with a magnificent image of the high priest at the climax of his service on Yom Kippur. While the Piyut itself is medieval, its underlying idea is ancient and is found in the Second Temple book, Ben Sirah. Perhaps our Mizmor arranged an existing analogy in a new way, portraying both the high priest at a dramatic moment and the beauty of the mountains around Yerushalayim glistening with morning dew as mirroring the lovely spectacle of healthy brotherhood. Both Yerushalayim and the Avodah of the high priest lead to God's blessing. Ki sham tziva Hashem et habiracha chayim ad haolam. There Hashem proclaimed the blessing of everlasting life. The 15th Shir HaMa'alot, Mizmor Kof Lamed Dalet, Psalm 134, is a short, three-verse, heartwarming psalm whose underlying theme is the temple as a place of beracha, blessing. Hine barachu et Hashem kol avdei Hashem ha'omedim bevet Hashem balelot. Now bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem, who stand by night in the house of Hashem. The two most common explanations for those who stand by night are either the temple guards and custodians who serve in the more difficult night shifts and are therefore worthy of special praise, or individual people of faith who rise from their sleep before dawn while it is still night time to worship in the temple. Se'u yideichem kodesh uvarechu et Hashem. Lift your hands up towards the divine abode and bless Hashem. While various traditions have integrated this verse into the ritual of Netilat Yadayim, purifying our hands before breaking bread, the pshat of this verse reflects the ancient Jewish custom of lifting one's arms towards heaven during prayer. Echoes of this custom are found in Tehillim 28:2 in prayer, Shma kol tachanunai b'shavei elecha b'nosei yadai el devir kodshecha. Listen to the sound of my plea as I cry out to you, as I lift my hands towards your sacred sanctum. And in praise, in Tehillim 63:5, Ken avarechecha b'chayai v'shimcha esa chappai. I bless you throughout my life, in your name do I lift up my hands. The Mizmor moves at this point from man blessing God to God blessing man. Yivarechecha Hashem mitzion oseh shamayim va'aretz. May Hashem, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. The temple and Yerushalayim are the focal point to which people turn to God and the flowing spring from which God's blessings emanate to the rest of the world, as Shlomo intended at the temple's founding. Kol tefila chol techina asher tihye lechol adam lechol amcha Yisrael asher yedeun ish nega levavo ufaras kapav el habayit hazeh ve'ata tishma hashamayim mechon shivtecha וסלחתה ועשיתה, ונתתה לאיש ככל דרכיו אשר תדע את לבבו, כי אתה ידעת לבדך את לבב כל בני האדם. Any prayer or appeal offered by any person, all your people, Israel, each of whom knows his own affliction, when he lifts his hands towards this house, you shall hear in your heavenly abode and pardon and take action, giving each man as he deserves, as you know his heart to be, for you alone know the hearts of all men. That Yerushalayim is the focal point is a most fitting way to conclude the 15 Shirei HaMa'alot. Over the past 3 weeks, we have studied these 15 psalms in memory and appreciation of Meir Weingarten. The Shirei HaMa'alot contain both moments of joy and cries for salvation while putting our trust in God. How fitting an encapsulation for the shining light we were privileged to know, Meir Weingarten. May the many years of his devotion to the listeners of this network, and indeed to Israel and Torah, continue to shine through the positive influence his programs had upon you, his listeners, whom he loved so much. Tehe nishmato hayikara tzirura bitzror hachayim.